One of the keys to right understanding about how to become a Christian has to start with God. And by the way, this is not in my notes here, but this is what's wrong with most religion today. They don't start with God, they start with man. You've got to start with God. You've got to have a right view of God. And we're living in a day where many picture God as an old bearded man sitting in a rocking chair, just rocking back and forth. I just want you to know that's not my God. Our God is an all-powerful God who created all things, who sustains all things. He's ruling over all the affairs of the world. He is the almighty, unchangeable God.
Spread out the clouds before.
The Bible also teaches us that our God is holy. Again, this is something that has been overlooked in religion today. The emphasis today is God is love, love, love. God is love, but God is holy. God is totally separate from sin. He cannot have sin come into his presence, and that's a real problem because we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the simple matter of fact is, folks, in our natural state, none of us can enter into heaven. And it's an amazing thing because we're the ones that broke the relationship. We're the ones that broke God's law in the person of Adam and Eve. We're the ones that alienated ourselves from God. And yet God is the one who reaches down to fix the situation. And the great God who created everything and controls all things did something very special to save us from our sin. You're going to hear about that in the second verse, which I'll be singing. As we get to the chorus of this song, I'd like you to join us, and I'll motion to you, and you'll know what to do. And take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul.
Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Because we've broken God's law spiritually and physically, we will die. We are separated from God for all eternity. But 2,000 years ago, God the Son left heaven, left the glory of heaven, the worship of heaven, took upon him human flesh, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years, and then he died. You say, wait a minute. I thought you said the wages of sin was death. If he hadn't sinned, why did he die? Oh, here's the great truth. Because when he died for me. And he died for you. And he shed his blood to remove our sin so someday we could be in heaven with him. Truly, it was for me he died.
Lamb of heaven.
folks, that's where the Christian life starts. And I'll be honest, if I were to have a song that would be my testimony song of salvation, it would be that song. Because you'll never get to heaven until you come to the realization that Christ died for you. Until it's personal. Until you apply it to yourself. You know, people today are trusting in many, many things to get to heaven. Throughout history, mankind has trusted in all kinds of things. You think about it, all the way back to Adam and Eve. What'd they do when they sinned? They covered themselves with their own handiwork. Won't get the job done. Folks, the cross has been under attack for all time. There are churches who've taken the songs out of the hymnal that talk about blood. But I tell you what, it's still the cross. Saying, wait a minute, Christ died 2,000 years ago. How can that help me in 2019? Simple matter of fact is that Jesus has already paid for your sins. What a great truth. And he offers this payment for sin as a gift. Can you imagine that, folks? God loves us so much that he gave his own son for us to make a way for us to get to heaven. And you simply have to accept it. John 1:12 says, "As many as received him. To them gave he the power, the right, or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you'll accept this faith or this gift by faith, you will be saved. Romans 10:13, one of my favorite verses, says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How do you receive Christ? Placing your faith in what he did on the cross to get you to heaven. And that's it. That's it. You must turn from your own sinfulness, your reliance on anything you can do, and completely trust in his payment for sin. You must believe. And it does. Do you remember when you got saved? In a moment, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And you were free. You were free from the penalty of sin. I remember several months ago, my wife and I were visiting with the Cantors, and Gary was giving me his testimony. And he says, Steve McNeely and I think Keith Watts came by and were trying to win him to Christ, and he really had no interest in what they were saying. And Steve said, wouldn't you like to shut the gates of hell forever? And Gary said, oh my, I would. And you know what, folks? When you got saved, that's exactly what happened. Amen. The penalty for sin was paid for. It was taken away. The gates of hell were closed forever. Oh, by the way, there's more than that. Salvation not only frees you from the penalty of sin, but it will free you from the presence of sin. I'm going to refer to Mike a couple times. Great to have Mike. Mike and Emily were here and got saved when Scott Pauley was here. And I went to visit them the Saturday afterward. And they said, you know, since we got saved, we've changed our language. Now, nobody told them to do that. They said, since we got saved, we've changed what we watch on TV. Said, since we got saved, we've changed the music we listen to. Now, folks, that is true conversion. Nobody sat down with Mike and Emily and said, you guys, you know, your language, yeah, you're a Christian now. Nobody did that. Nobody said, yeah, you can't. No. The Holy Spirit of God did that. And, folks, the great news is, as a believer, Christians, we don't have to sin. We don't. We've been saved from sin. We've been saved from the power. Oh, by the way, someday, hallelujah, we'll sing about this in a minute, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Yeah, there's no sin in heaven. And every believer this morning ought to simply say, thank God, I'm free. Somebody take a lap or two around the auditorium. I tell you what. Praise God, I'm free. Isn't salvation wonderful? Saves you from the penalty of sin, the power of sin. Hallelujah. Someday, the presence of sin. True salvation occurs when a person places their faith totally in the finished work of Christ. Not depending on what we do, but totally on what he did. In fact, when Jesus was on the cross, what were the words he said? It is finished. What was finished? The work of salvation. He had done it all. All that had to happen We're not trusting in our baptism. We're going to have a baptismal service then. That won't get you to heaven. Not trusting in that. Not trusting in church membership, good works. We're trusting wholly and completely in Jesus Christ. Truly, our hope is Jesus. Wow, what a hope, what a confidence we can have in Jesus Christ. Now, there are some folks that say, well, you need to get saved because if you get saved, you won't have any problems anymore. Any Christian that would say that's true, don't raise your hand. No, it's not true. Unfortunately, Christians have trouble too. I mentioned the Russells here, and I hope you don't mind me, Mike, picking on you guys, but you're such a great example. Ever since they got saved, you know what they've had? Trouble. Just a few weeks after Mike got saved, he found that he has a mass in his chest that's cancer. Now, praise the Lord, they're going to operate. They think they can get it. We're excited about that. He hasn't been able to work. Financial needs. His transmission on his car tore up. Did you get that fixed yet? Still working on that. All right. If you want a good person to give some money to, there you go. Buy him a new transmission. Simple matter of fact is, folks, saved people and unsaved people have trouble. Now you say, well, Gary, if that's true, then why become a Christian? I mean, I'll tell you why. When an unsaved person has trouble, where can they turn? Well, they can turn to alcohol or drugs or thrills or different things. But I tell you what, when you get saved, you have someone you can turn to no matter what your situation is, and you will never have to go through it alone. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And what a truth, believer. No matter what you're going through, I want you to know something. Jesus is with you. And you may have friends that want to help you in different things, but I'll tell you what, there's one source of help for the believer, and it's only God.
Through the mountains.
So when problems come in the Christian life, what's the key? When things don't go quite the way you expect them to, what should you do? You know, it's really simple. Now, we miss it a lot. I miss it too. But we need to stop and admit that God has the right to rule and reign in my life and then bow in submission to Him. Can I say that again? I'm going to, whether you want me to or not. What should we do when problems come? Admit that God has the right to rule and reign in my life. He has that right. And then bow in submission to Him. You say, Gary, is that scriptural? Yes, it is. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it very clearly. Trust in the Lord with most of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. You know what that means? Acknowledge that He has the right to rule and reign in every area of your life. And if we'll do that, it says He will direct thy paths. There are believers here this morning who are in the Christian life. They've been saved. They know they're going to heaven. But you're going through trouble. What's the key? Bow the knee. Bow the knee.
Purpose of His plan.
as he stood on the deck of the ship, the words came to him quickly. He wrote the chorus. He wrote the same words over and over. The words were, "It is well. It is well." Now, you would think that a man writing those on a ship was probably on a cruise vessel on vacation, right? You would be totally wrong. Most of you know the story, but his name was H.G. Spafford, wealthy Christian who had great land and businesses in the city of Chicago, had a beautiful family, beautiful wife, four wonderful daughters. And in a moment, all that changed. The great Chicago fire occurred, and he lost much of his holdings, lost much of his wealth. Some time went by, and he had other difficulties. He decided he'd go to England and go on vacation. He knew D.L. Moody, a good friend of his, would be there. But he was delayed by some business he had to take care of. And he sent his wife and four daughters on ahead of him on the ship. And as you know the story, as that ship was traveling through the ocean, they were struck by a metal vessel, and that ship sunk. And received that telegram from his wife, which started, "Saved alone." Now he was on a ship traveling over the same spot, and the captain had said, "Come here, this is where the ship went down, where your four daughters perished." And he wrote these words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." How can a person going through such great trials, such great loss, still say, "It is well"? Because he believed that God was in control and that God had a perfect plan for his life. And I don't know if you've seen it tonight or this morning, but one of our goals was to give you a right view of God. And folks, when you have a right view of God, no matter what comes in your life, you can say, "It is well." Well, how does it all end? We're saved by believing in Christ, faith in the finished work of Christ. We have endured the problems of life by faith. We have bowed our knee in submission to God in faith. But what about the end? How does the Christian life end? Well, for those that are alive, the end will be the rapture. The rapture. In a moment, Jesus will return and will take all who believe to heaven. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." My mom's been in the grave now for 5 years. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes back, if I'm still alive, she's going to come up out of the grave, and I'm going to meet her in the air. And the Bible says we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How does it end? Hallelujah. We shall rise. Invitation. Are you in the Christian life? Do you have the assurance in your heart that if your heart were to stop beating right now, you'd wake up in heaven? Boy, if you don't have that, today is the day of salvation. And in a moment, we're going to have an invitation time. And when the ladies play, I would encourage you to come. We'll have a counselor who'll meet with you, and you can receive Christ and all the things that the Christian life, including we shall rise. If you are a Christian this morning, I hope your heart has been rejoicing in what God has done for you. And it may be this morning that there are folks who are going through some deep waters, and you need to be able to say, "It is well with my soul." And again, I say the answer to that is to have a right view of God and to bow the knee. It may be that you're struggling in your soul, believer. Believe me, I am. And you just need to come and get with the Lord and say, Lord, you have the right to rule and reign in my life, and I am going to completely submit to you. It's the only way to have peace. It's the only way to have joy in the Christian life. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. I wonder if this morning there might be someone who would say, Gary, I'm not sure of heaven. If I were to die today, I have no assurance that heaven would be my home. If you're saying that in your heart, would you just slip up your hand? I'd love to pray for you. Say, I'm not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be. Anyone like that at all? I think we have mostly church folks here this morning. Amen. I see that hand. Good. You can put that down. Thank you. Anyone else to join this one? Let me talk to believers. Believer, how you doing? Do you have the peace that passeth all understanding in your heart? If not, if you have a troubled soul today, let me encourage you to come, spend some time with the Lord, and bow the knee. You say tonight, Gary, or this morning, Gary, I'm struggling with some things in my Christian life. I'd love to pray for you. Won't call your name, won't mention you, but love to pray for you. If this morning I'm talking to you and you know it, would you just slip up your hand so we can pray for you? Say, Gary, amen, amen. I see these hands going through some troubles. My soul is in turmoil and I need to run to the Lord. Anybody to join these? Amen, I see that hand in the back. I'll wait just a minute. Anyone else? I need the Lord's help today. Ladies, I'm going to have you play Have Thine Own Way, Have Thine Own Way in just a moment. Let me pray for these. If you raised your hand, you say, I'm not sure of heaven. You come on. We'll have a lady take a Bible and help you with that. You can go away knowing that heaven will be your home. Believer, if you raised your hand, why don't you come and spend some time with the Lord? If you need someone to pray with you, we'll be glad to do that. Lord, we do thank you for these great songs that have stirred our hearts this morning. Thank you for this one who's raised her hand saying that she's not sure of heaven. I pray that today she would get that settled and that she would go away from this place with peace in her heart about her eternal destiny, knowing she's going to heaven. Help us, Lord, as we try to deal with that today. And for these other believers who've raised their hands who are struggling, help them to be able to submit to your leadership and your will in their lives. Help them to come and spend some time with you and publicly rely upon you for your help. In Jesus' name, you're standing together, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. If you need to come, now is your time. If you're not sure of heaven, won't you come so we can help you get that settled once and for all? Amen. Thank the Lord for one who's come for salvation. Get it settled. Believer, have you obeyed the Lord? That's all we ask. Just obey the Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a few minutes, and let's pray for those who are being dealt with. And thank God for the service this morning. Hope you'll think about these songs. Thank God for good Christ-honoring music. And if there's anything in your life you're struggling with, ask the Lord to help you. And again, let's pray for these who are being dealt with this morning. I'll give you just another couple verses or so, and then we'll proceed with the rest of the service. Thank you. You can go ahead and look this way. Again, please pray for those who are being dealt with. And Brother Gary's going to go back and prepare for baptism. And I'm so excited for Brother Mike as he will be following Lord and Believer's baptism this morning. Please take out your bulletin. I'd like to direct your attention to a few announcements. We've got several things to take care of. And then after the baptism, we do have a quick little presentation after Brother Gary gets back out here and things. I want to present something to he and his wife as well. But again, thank you for being here this morning. Please continue to pray for our church and continue to pray for our pastor and so forth. Thank God for what he has done at Vacation Bible School. We had at least, that we know of, 31 boys and girls who accept the Lord as their Savior this week. And all God's people said, amen. That's exciting. In addition to that, at least three or four adults Friday that raised their hands saying they're placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So thank God for all that. We're so grateful for what the Lord has done. And thank you to all VBS workers. Many of you worked in many different areas. Thank you so much for taking off work early. Some of you taking vacation time. Thank you for your labor. And thank you for investing in the next generation. And thank God for what he has done through Vacation Bible School. Take a look in your bulletin in the middle section here. Just to kind of go over a few things. One big thing coming up, not this week, but the week after this week. So this will be July 8th through the 11th, Junior Day Camp at Harvest Acres. This is something that we do every year for children who are 8 through 12 years old. The cost is $15 each. If you have a child 8 through 12, I strongly encourage you to bring them for camp. The cost, again, is $15 each. And just to clarify a little bit, we'll be leaving the church at 9 o'clock. Leaving at 9 o'clock, returning at 3 o'clock. So meet here at the church. There will be a bus here that will take all the kids out to the property. Okay, it says buses run each day. That is not going to pick children up. That is taking everyone that is here out to Harvest Acres for junior day camp. So again, the buses will leave here at 9 o'clock in the morning. They will be back here at 3 o'clock. So parents will be back here about 2:45 or so to pick up your kiddos for junior day camp. If you have any questions about that, see Brother Wakefield. Matter of fact, there will be a meeting tonight at 6:15 right here. We'll do it right here in the auditorium. Will that work best? Okay. Meeting at 6:15 for everyone interested in junior day camp. And again, we're looking forward to that. And down at the bottom, all the way down at the bottom, we hope you'll be here tonight. Thank God for this Christ-honoring music. And thank the Lord for Brother Gary leading this choir. Thank you, instrumentalists and choir and everyone who participated in this. We'd like to continue that tonight as far as honoring a few of the Lord's choice servants here, Brother Gary and Miss Debbie. So thankful for their faithfulness. After the service tonight, we will be having a reception. We hope you make it a point to be here and encourage some other folks to attend with you as well. There will be a reception table over there for the Siemens to stand at. We will have some refreshments and things, and there will be a large basket that needs to be filled. A large basket that needs to be filled with cards, okay? So please write a note of encouragement, slip a little gift card or something in there if the Lord leads you to do that. Let's do our part to encourage encourage Brother Gary and Miss Debbie as they take this next step in their ministry. The church is going to do their part. We're going to present something from the church family as a whole tonight. But in addition to that, you and your family pray about what God would have you to give for this specific thing. And let's go ahead and receive the offering, men, if you'll make your way forward. Just a reminder, there will be an others offering tonight as well, and we are looking forward to having a group from Crown College here, a ladies trio, and Brother Jonathan Heaton will be preaching tonight, so you pray for them. We're looking forward to having them here this evening. Brother Damon Barnett, if you'll pray for the offering for us, please. Amen.
cancer, and they're going to operate July the 17th. But I tell you, folks, God has done a work in this man's heart. Amen. And it's changed him, and truly he is walking in newness of life. Amen. And it's a joy. He called me this week. He said, Gary, before you go, I want you to baptize me. And I'm not sure why me, but I'm hoping not to drown him. He'll be great. I was by his house and their house the Saturday after they got saved, and they relayed to me all the things God was doing in their life. And it was such a joy to see true conversion, someone that really was being changed for Christ. And so it's a joy to be able to baptize you today, and upon your profession of faith and obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk almost in newness of life. The rapture, it'll work in the rapture. So praise the Lord, buddy. We're so excited for you. And he has asked, made a special request. I know you're all ready to go home. Let's sing the chorus, Victory in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.
People said, Amen. Just a few more announcements, and then we do have a presentation. We're here briefly. Matter of fact, let me have Brother Stover, if you want to go ahead and come. And Brother Gary is hovering right behind you there. So
better be good.
Well, so everyone can hear this, Brother Gary, this is on behalf of the Victor Bible class, and I don't really know how to present it to you because we hate your leaving. But for those of us who've sat in there under his teaching for any length of time at all, we have learned that he's a godly man. And that he brings us lessons that's based on God's word. It's not on his word or somebody else's word. He brings it based on God's word. And every Sunday, he would bring something that would touch somebody's heart. He usually touched my heart. I don't know if he's just teaching to me or what, but we've had a remarkable experience with Brother Gary in that class. And of course, I got a double blessing. I've enjoyed the choir with him and I've become a good friend. I was hoping he wouldn't break down this morning because I knew that half the class would break down if he broke down during his farewell message to us. But his message was to continue. And that's my hope, for as the Bible said, as for me and my family, we're going to continue. And that's what I asked the church to do. We're going through some strange waters, but his lesson today, for the class, and I believe it's for the church, we're going to continue. Amen. We're going to stick together. Amen. We're going to see what the Lord's got in mind for us. And all the deacons that have been working so hard and trying to do their very, very best, and they need our prayers, but they're going to continue. And we as members, and I'm just talking to you as a member, we're going to continue. We have to continue. The Lord has blessed this church so abundantly, it would be a shame if you didn't continue. It'd be a shame if I didn't continue. And so I ask each one of you just to continue. Pray for our deacons. Pray for our intern pastor. Pray for the new music director that we'll be getting sooner or later. You need to really pray for him because the choir can give him a rough time. But anyway, this is from the Victory Bible class, and I guess Maybe I could throw this into the baptistry. This is an iPad, and we want you, Gary, every time you use this down in Florida, say a little prayer for the Victory Bible class. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Stover. Thank you.